Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Here we are. It's the Monday morning episode, and we're actually recording it on the Monday morning. We normally do them on a Sunday evening for the Monday morning, but I turned my back on podcasting yesterday, and I chose to take my children to the cinema instead. So I'm sorry about that.
It's like you love your Sam. Kids more than podcasting.
Well, you know, it's 50-50, really. I tossed a coin.
Kids can get boring.
We went... Frankie and Benny's stroke cinema combo.
Nice.
It was fucking expensive. Boy, it was fun.
Oh, yeah, I know the Frankie and Benny's in Sunderland.
Ah, it's not that one, though. We went to Newcastle.
How do you know what one I know?
Because there was only one in Sunderland.
Oh, what one did you go to?
Well, the one you know of was the one that was 100 metres away from the hotel you stayed in.
No, don't know where I went in Sunderland. Like, I had a right good look around.
You went all over because you got lost.
I did get lost, yeah, and that's good to get lost in a new city, isn't it?
Well, first of all, there's only one Frankie and Benny's in Sunderland, which is the one I'm referring to, next to your hotel, where you stayed. Yeah, secondly, It's closed down.
What, that one that I know?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, I'm gutted, mate.
Did you go in when you were there?
I didn't eat, but I went in, I introduced myself to a few people.
Yeah.
I asked a few questions, just basic journalism stuff.
You kind of, if you want to get the heartbeat or the pulse, take the pulse of a town or a city... Go into the Frankie and Benny's.
They should let me do one of those Guardian things where I go around the country getting to know real people.
Yeah. You usually go to Stoke or somewhere like that, don't they?
They just call it the Sam Delaney Frankie and Benny Diaries.
Every week our correspondent Sam Delaney goes out to meet the working class people we claim to understand. In one of their Frankie and Benny's brasseries. This week, Sunderland.
Ah, fucking hell, it closed down. I'll have to go up Newcastle, see if they got that.
Yeah, that's where we ended up yesterday. We ended up in Newcastle. So apologies also to the economy of the city of Sunderland.
What film did you see?
Went to see the, what's it called? The Personal History of David Copperfield.
Oh, yeah, I want to take the kids to see that.
Nice good. Bit of Dickens. Really good. Funny. Really, really good.
Trailer really looked really funny.
Yeah, funny all the way through.
It's got a great cast, hasn't it?
Great cast. You know, Armando Iannucci directing it. Simon Blackwell co-writing it. Who's written lots of stuff like Thick of It and Veep and all that. Quality
say
stuff.
Say no more, mate.
Say no
say
more.
Say no more.
You know. A splash of Charles Dickens in there as well as the, you know, as the, what's it called? The source material.
That's what you call it.
Yeah. It was fucking great. 9 out of 10, I'd give it. Go and see it. I give it 9
Dickens,
thumbs.
Dickens, of course, was the original Guardian Easter, wasn't he?
Was he?
Well, Dickens was all about... He was parading around literary circles in London whilst fucking going on and on about the earthy nobility of the working classes.
Was he one of them, was he?
Yeah.
Because there's that thing that people always say, which was that Dickens was the East Enders or the Coronation Street of his day, because his stories were episodic and they'd appear in newspapers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that. Fucking East Enders is fucking miserable, isn't it? But this wasn't.
Mind
this
you,
really
so
good.
Some of Dickens' books. Although, then again, he did write the musical Oliver, which is a whole lot of fun. The songs are the best bits.
He
wrote the songs, yeah.
Collaborated with Lionel Bart.
He also choreographed the dance routines.
He did, that's true.
So, and that is something that EastEnders has always lacked, which is weird because you would think EastEnders is fucking custom made to have musical numbers because it's in the East End where knees up. Happen at the drop of a hat. I mean, they just happen all the time.
Plus, they've got that fantastic square, which is absolutely set up for a spectacular, dance
city
piece.
Yourself at home, all that stuff.
I think they've done one or two during, like, Children in Need and stuff like that. But that doesn't count. That's not canon, is it?
Children in Need canon, episodes. You're right. Genuinely the funniest musical ever. And in my top 10 favourite films of all time is My Fair Lady, right?
Right.
With Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
It is so fucking funny. And the funniest bit in it, one of the funniest scenes of all time, is when she goes to the races, when he and when Henry, what's his name, he unveils her for the first time, having trained her up to be posh, Henry Higgins, and he takes her to, like, Ascot, and he's trained her to sort of fool his mum's posh mates into thinking she actually is sort of gentry.
Right.
And she really does it quite well. But then, as the horse is reading, is nearing the final furlong, she gets overexcited and lapses into extreme cockney.
Reverse
and it's
the
one
type.
Of the funniest scenes ever. I can recommend that highly to anyone.
I've never seen My Fair Lady. So there
honestly,
we go.
Andy, I've got a very, very strong sense you'd like this film a lot.
I'm
and
sure
I do not
will.
Say that lightly. I mean, you know, I'd almost be nervous recommending things to you because you're an unforgiving person. But in your cultural tastes, aren't you? You know, like, if you don't like something, you're very, you know, you're quick to label everyone who does like it a cunt.
Yeah,
so
and
the
everyone
stakes
involved
are high.
In the making of it, yeah.
The stakes are high in recommending something to you, but I'm confident in recommending My Fair Lady to you.
I think I'm mellowing a little bit, you know. I think I'm mellowing the older I get.
I've watched My Fair Lady, and I decree it a cunt's film, and everyone who likes it should die.
Well, I say watched it, I gave it 10 minutes, I realised I wasn't going to like it, it wasn't for me, didn't tick any of my boxes, and I switched the cunt off.
And I fucking hate everyone who's ever set eyes upon it.
And you right. for recommending it to me, so fuck off.
Kill yourself, Delaney.
Find yourself another podcast.
Yeah, no, watch it, mate, it's great.
I will do, I'll try and get right to it. I've got so many films and TV series and books and cultural artifacts. I've said this before. I can't wait to retire. I'll just consume stuff the whole time.
Imagine going on like a holiday that's like a retirement practice where you go, you go off but on your own without.
That's
kids.
What I want to do. Yeah,
and you do 2 weeks in a really nice rig. Doesn't have to be that expensive or luxurious. It can be very basic. But you just use it to just constantly watch shit morning,
consume
noon, and night.
Things. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I need to do.
I mean, I wouldn't even go abroad. I'd go somewhere remote in the countryside to
right,
do it.
Right, yeah. What, get like Deliveroo to bring the food?
I'd get a fucking Sainsbury's delivery on the day I arrived. Stock up on snacks, crisps mainly.
Could do. Yeah, I need to do something like that. Just some fucking time to myself. That's what I need. This parent thing's fucking relentless, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough life. It's just
Jesus
too much.
Christ.
It's too much shit to get done. And we don't even have to do the old 9 to 5, and even we're overstretched.
Well, you know what? I think that's part of the problem because it means we're always available. If we did do the 9 to 5, they'd go to
people
after
would fuck
school
off
clubs.
And leave us alone.
the kids would go to after school clubs or childminders or something like that, and
fucking
we wouldn't
right.
have to deal with them.
I am
between
always
8 and
telling
6.
My kids about that shit. Last night, I went out to meet my mate at the pub for a Heineken Zero, right?
Mm.
And like my kids were affronted because I go out so rarely.
I bet they were, yeah. Same here.
They were
same
affronted. Here. Their mum wasn't going out. Their mum was at home. So it wasn't like they had to like moan about a babysitter.
Yeah,
made no fucking odds to
there.
Them. It was their bedtime anyway.
Fucking
and I
hell.
Say to them, you know, like most dads don't get home till late. Very often they get home maybe just in time for bedtime or often... later than that because they work fucking hard jobs in an office.
I tell mine, most dads work at the foundry.
Yeah,
and they come
right.
home exhausted and dirty,
drunk,
and sweaty.
Well, these foundry men, they come
drunk,
home.
Yeah.
They work long
eventually.
Hours. Then they go to the inn and they drink, they fritter all of their wages away that should go on children's shoes, on ale.
Mead.
Then they come home and they beat everyone up.
Yeah.
And that's what most dads are like.
Every
and so
night,
think
yeah.
yourself lucky that I am a freelance podcaster. That's what I say to my kids.
What does your dad do? Oh, he's a... He works at the foundry.
Yeah, he's... yeah, they'd be more embarrassed to admit that I'm a podcaster, so they claim that I'm an alcoholic foundry worker who beats
family
them up.
Family beater, yeah. Yeah.
He's a, he beats us soundly, but, you know, we understand because he works hard and life's frustrating and a lot of his dreams haven't come true.
Sometimes he works for an hour and a half of a morning.
Then he watches My Fair Lady. He watches it every day. He says he has to keep his creative juices flowing.
Maybe they've heard about the other dads who do work in the foundry and then go up the inn every night. And then you decided to go up the inn last night and that, you know, upset them.
Yeah, they think it's like a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Saturday night, Vanessa Feltz's birthday party at her rig.
This Saturday or Saturday gone?
Just at it. Yeah, just been.
Oh, you've been?
I've been.
Yeah. Fuck. How was that then?
I can't give too much away, but I will say it was a great night.
Did you have to sign something when you went in? NDA?
No, I didn't, but, you know, you don't want to be too indiscreet, do you? But it was a big do. It was star-studded.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really entertaining.
I got one question.
There was singing and dancing.
Was there? Can I ask you one question? I'll ask you to answer honestly.
Yeah.
Was Philip Schofield there?
He was not. That's exactly what my mum asked. It's the main question that most people asked. Even my daughter, and I had no idea she knew fucking Philip Schofield was, but I suppose every cunt does now. She was like, was Philip Schofield there? That Philip Schofield was not there.
Was Philip Schofield there, and what was he wearing?
Yeah. He was there in a dress. Can you imagine?
A studded leather cap.
Turned up in a Harley. Another big event the weekend. My wife was at Tesco Metro.
So you've got nothing to say at all about the Vanessa Feltz party?
Well, I can tell you my best bits.
Go on then.
Well, her husband, who's also a mate of mine, Ben. I mean, you might have even met him.
I think I've met Ben, yeah.
Yeah. And he, you know that, like, he had a massive hit in, I guess, the noughties with Got to Turn Around.
Yes.
He's Fats and Smalls.
Is he Fats or Small?
He was Fats. He's not a fat person. I think it was Fats PH80, which is the street way.
Fat Beats, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
And he's the singer. So there was a DJ there, and he sang and danced and performed Got to Turn Around, which he has...
Made it all about him, did he?
Well, he always does it. It's a thing that he does. It's like, well known, that at the drop of a hat, he will sing Got to Turn Around, which I love. You know, like, you get some stars and, like, you interview them, and if you dare to mention the hit that, let's be honest, is the only hit they're famous for, they are completely affronted.
I'm about so much more than that, just that.
Yeah, like, how dare you? Like, fucking... When I interviewed Chris de Burgh once, and I was obviously briefed not to mention Lady in Red. Which, of course, I did, because that's the Delaney instance. Way. Right? But I love the fact that Ben not only loves to talk about Got to Turn Around, he will sing it at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
There was a dance person. There was one of the dance, like, choreographers from Strictly. And he had us all lined up doing, what do you call it? You know Candy by Cameo, one of the all-time classic songs.
Yes.
And, you know, there's a special dance to it.
I've seen this mentioned three times by three different people over the weekend on social media, and I had no idea about it.
Cosmos stuff, then.
It's happening at all the parties.
Well, it's been going on for years, since the 80s.
What, the dance that was with the original song?
Yeah, it must have
just been... Everyone's doing it now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Is it on TikTok or something?
I don't know. I mean, I knew about it. It used to... it's a big thing at, like... sort of black weddings.
Right.
And stuff like that. And a couple of years ago, I got really into... I became obsessed with wanting to do it properly.
Mm.
So I spent a bit of time on YouTube looking at it being done. And I was telling a mate about it last night, so I was telling him the story of Vanessa's party, right? And I said... he said, oh, great, I want to learn that. What's the best... Fuck me, there's a cat in my gun. What the fuck are you doing? It's not the black cat.
Ugh.
Fuck off. Sorry. He gave me a right indignant look as well, as if to say, all right, cunt, what are you looking at? I'm like, you cunt, you're in my front garden and you're
what
not you my cat.
There? What are you looking at in your fucking goldfish bowl, dickhead?
Yeah, twat. Why don't you get out and get some fresh air in your lungs, you inside twat?
Sit on your fucking inside chair, wanker. Are you? We only come inside for a fucking a bit of warmth and something to eat, you fucking arsehole.
Then you've got to get back out again on the street, mate.
Yeah, look at you sitting there at your table, fucking twat.
You lazy bastard. Anyway, I go to my mate. Yeah, if you want to see, I think, one of the best videos you can see, and this sounds really sick, right? One of the best examples you can see of a mass candy dance is Cyril Regis's funeral.
Oh!
Yeah.
Whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And this is on YouTube.
Yeah, someone filmed it and put it on YouTube, and there was like loads of people there at his funeral, at the memorial after, and there's a massive picture of Cyril Regis up on the wall, and everyone, like fucking loads of people, are all doing it. It's a bit like line dancing, but it's a cool version of line dancing.
I'll have to have a look at this.
It's well worth a watch. Once you've finished My Fair Lady, get on to any video you can find of Cyril Regis's funeral.
Yeah.
And there's the title for the episode as well.
It's kind of, is it taking the place of the rowing boat dance to Oops Upside Your Head?
Because Oops, that was so, yeah, it's very much decades, the same it? Sort of genre and the same cultural milieu. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, there was someone there teaching people how to do it. And I really wanted to get up the front and do it. This is in Vanessa's front room, if you don't mind. Mind you, it was a big front room, mate.
I'll bet it is. I bet it's
lavish.
It's
a nice rig. It's a really nice rig. And my wife, she hates things like this.
Ben's a lovely fella, but Vanessa will make a great widow one day.
Anyway... No, my wife loved the party, but she hates getting involved in those kind of things. But there was no pressure to get involved. You didn't have to if you didn't want to. But I was like, I fucking definitely want to.
Of course you do.
Of course I want to do it. But the bloke really leading it at the front, the most enthusiastic person, was the poet Benjamin Zephaniah. And I know, by the way, that this all sounds made up, but every word of what I'm saying is true.
I believe it.
This was my Saturday night.
I'd like to stop the episode now, just end it there. But
Mark was there. Big Mark, producer, was there.
Was he
dancing?
And
he, I can't name names, but he was being set up with a member of one of the most famous noughties pop groups.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Wow.
When I left, put it this way, me and my missus were like, I think Mark's going to get off with her out of that band.
Off the thing. Oh, we're going to have a conversation about this after we finish recording. Once we press stop.
Yeah.
And there can be no trace of it.
Jalapeño.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
Something bigger than all of that happened this weekend, were a couple of things. One is that my wife was up Tesco's buying some emergency lemons for some cooking I was doing. Mm-hmm. And there's I'm going to whisper because there's a quite scary bloke who lives up my street who's Russian, right? Right, and
yeah.
He's
good idea to whisper it into a microphone and then put it out on the internet for everyone.
I'm worried that he's only a couple of doors up. The walls
but he might hear the podcast. The one, if he doesn't matter if he hears, he'd fucking say it now.
I mean, I've got nothing bad to say about him. He seems like a lovely fella, right?
Right,
but he's a big lad, and you know, he's a big intimidating presence in the street. You know, and anyway. He's also mysterious. Like, he doesn't talk much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll see him on a big motorbike, and he's like, I'll jump over, what, mate? And he won't say hello to me, he'll stare through me.
Yeah.
And anyway, but, you know, whatever. These are my insecurities coming out. Yeah, there's nothing to do with him. But anyway, my wife saw him up the Tesco. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're in the Tesco's or the Asda's or whatever shop you're in, if you see a neighbour, you do like to have a look in their basket, don't you? And judge them.
You try to do discreetly, yeah.
You have a good fucking look and you judge them and you try to read as much as you can into the contents of their shopping basket, don't you? About their life, their personality, their morals, their worldview. At midday yesterday, no, 11:30 a.m. yesterday, this is what big Russian dude had in his basket. 12 apples... and a box of Tafifis, right?
Oh.
And then when he got to the front of the queue, my wife's behind him, she thought we'd set up for a Sunday lunchtime, 12 apples and some Tafifis. And then when he got to the front, they said, would you like anything else? And he just shouted, Quantro! And pointed at a bottle of Quantro. And they were partly went, Quantro! And they went and got him a bottle of Quantro. And then he filled his carrier bag with 12 apples, a box of Tafifis and a bottle of Quantro and fucked off back to his rig.
I'm guessing he's not Sunday. Yeah, I guess he's not married. I guess he's a single gentleman.
Oh, he's married, all right. He's married with kids. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like the whole family. He must go, no, darling, I insist. I cook lunch today. You work hard all week. Me, and we have nice family lunch. You'll sit down and
all
watch
the trimmings.
Telly. Yeah, all trimmings, real nice British tradition. I assimilate. Now, you'll sit down and watch Murder, She Wrote. I'll go up to Tesco and stock up on ingredients. Then he comes back, they go, okay, lunch is ready. And he just empties the carrier bag directly onto the table. All the apples just start rolling around. And the Tafifis are there. And the bottle of Quantro, which he cracks open and starts swigging from the bottom, then hands to one of his kids. You drink now.
Happy
it's good
Sunday.
Orange liqueur. Very good. Put fire in you.
Good starter liqueur for kids.
Yeah. And she goes... But darling, you can't give alcohol to kids at this time. It's orange, it's like orange juice. It's one of five a day.
Healthy. Plus apples, two a day.
Two a day.
Toffee. Toffee in Tofifi. Also a fruit. Three a day.
Drink. Eat. It's nice family time now.
Now I go to my room, watch Sheffield United v Bournemouth. Alone.
I watched I was a right hipster because the game was cancelled. Len alerted me to the fact that he went, I said, the game's been cancelled, mate. I'm gutted. He said, never mind. We can watch Bayern Munich versus RP Leipzig on BT Sport 2, which somehow he'd researched and knew about. So I watched that. And it was actually, it was 0-0, but it's a fucking good game. It was end to end all the way through. I might start watching Bundesliga like one of the millennials do.
Well, one of the matches of the season appeared to be the Milan Derby last night. Which was
4-2
at home. 4-2. They were 2-0 down early on, and then they came back and won it 4-2. So that looked. I saw the goals this morning on Sky Sports News. That looked really good.
It's mad, isn't it? Inter Milan. I was looking at their team and the substitutes, but they got like Ashley Young and Lukaku started, and on the bench they had Victor Moses and Christian Eriksen. You forget about the amount of ex Premier League stars.
Yeah,
mad that Eriksen can't make the team.
Have they got Alexis
Sanchez? Oh, yeah, that's it. And Sanchez up front as well. It's like a fucking Premier League side.
They're really good to watch.
Yeah.
Weird.
I hope they win the league because it's boring that Juventus win it every year. Mm. And I hope Leipzig win the Bundesliga because these leagues where the same fucking massive team who've dominated for 100 years just still win every year. It's fucking silly, isn't it?
Well, what have we said for a long time is the best league in the world?
Can't remember.
I'll help you out. It's the Championship.
Oh, the championship.
It's the championship.
Yeah.
And as someone pointed out, there's the same points gap between first and fifth in the Premier League as there is between first and 20th in the championship.
Wow, that's incredible.
Anyone, we're on 31 games in the championship now, and any one of the top seven could go up automatically in the top two. It's so close. It is fucking great. If you watch Match of the Day on a Saturday night and you haven't watched goals, championship goals on Quest at 9 o'clock, you're not doing your life right, basically. There you go. That's speaking to someone who's a fan of a club that hasn't been in the Premier League for a long time.
Well, we'll be in the championship next season.
Yeah,
West Ham
will. Love it. You will
and
love
I'm
it.
Quite, to be honest, I was. Do you know what I was doing this morning in my head in the shower? I was working out what our team would be in the championship. That's how far down the road of accepting relegation I am. I was like working out, you know, when you do that thing, working out who might stay.
Yeah.
And who from the youth team might be ready. Like, we've got players playing in the championship at the moment who are out on loan and are doing really well. So in a way, and we've just signed Jared Bowen, who was one of the best players in the championship.
Yeah,
so in a way, it's
like
we've got a ready-made championship team.
Yeah. Oh, you've got Snodgrass as well, who just screams championship-winning player.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly right. Jared Bowen, Snodgrass, Noble will still be all right down
Darren,
there. And then we got Josh Cullen from Charlton. You what?
Darren Randall. What's his name, the keeper?
Darren Randolph. But I think Fabianski might stay with us
keeper.
If we get relegated, because he's quite old, so he might just think, fuck it, I'll stay. Fabianski, stay. Fabianski, happy.
Bring apples. Bring Quadro.
I have my toffee fee. I happy.
I have everything. I have life.
A man with toffee fee and apples has life. You know the fat black cat?
Yeah.
So someone, there's a thing, I don't know if they have it all over the country, but there's this app called Nextdoor. And
before
it's basically,
you go any further, when we were on stage in Nottingham, I think it was, you gave an update on the fat black cat, which I don't think you've done on the podcast yet.
Yeah, well, basically someone, so one of the neighbours asked if my daughter could feed their cat while they were away on holiday. And my wife said, oh, is your cat a fat black cat? And the neighbour just rolled her eyes and went, no, not that one. That one's got a bit of a reputation locally. So that thing it did, where it sort of, you know, broke into our home, that's something that is fucking known for being a little bit of a fucking dodgy character around the way.
Just go around all the houses doing it.
Yeah, apparently. Hey, it reminds me of that mutual friend of ours who used to sometimes climb into open windows in the summer and lie in other people's spare bedrooms just to, like, get an adrenaline rush and then creep out again before the family got up in the morning.
Who was this then?
I'm not telling you. I've told you before. I can't name him. But he used to walk around late at night to get a thrill. He'd walk around late at night and he'd do things like he'd walk along on motorways and stuff in the dead of night just to give himself a rush. And then he'd also walk down residential streets, and if he saw a window open, he would climb in through the window, and then he would creep about and find a spare room, and he would lie in the spare room, sometimes sleeping, sometimes not, and then make sure when he started hearing the rest of the family stir in the morning, he would get up and go away again, just because he thought it was an adrenaline rush. He'd call it experiencing the fear, like it'd be an extreme feeling.
Yeah.
Really fucking weird, isn't it?
People are weird, aren't they? Yeah, you have to tell me who that was.
I'll make you guess.
That's two names. Two names I'm going to need for you when this recording ends. Don't forget. Yeah.
Anyway, on this Nextdoor app, which is basically a nosy neighbour app. It's an app where people go to basically fucking just be busybodies about the local area, right? So it's all only for people in your locality.
Right.
And I'm not joining mine, but a friend came around yesterday and said, oh, that cat that broke into your home, I think they've been talking about it on Nextdoor. And I was like, oh, yeah. And basically there was a massive fucking row, which she sent me. I won't bore you reading out the whole thing. but there was a big row about someone feeding someone else's cat. You know how people get the ump about that?
Yeah.
Do not feed or shelter cats that are not yours,
yeah.
Says. Please do not feed my black cat. He has a traumatic history from having to survive abroad on the streets and is learning. He does not need to beg for food or look for a warm, safe place to call home.
Are you reading this now?
Yeah, I am, but only this one bit because it's funny. Then I'll tell you the even funnier bit.
Is this the cat that we're referring to?
And we think so, yes.
Right.
We rescued him from being put to sleep. He started making progress, but other people interfering has caused huge setbacks, and we are now having to rebuild the stability and security he was getting used to, right? He is microchipped to an address abroad.
What?
But with my name and phone number, the company are transferring it. We also have the passport as proof of ownership. The RSPCA, police and vet, they're all aware of this, right? So someone's just got the fucking ump and is fucking ranting. Hell. And then they get into this row, right? And anyway, you know there was a... Remember I was talking a few weeks ago about how there was a murder near my house?
Yeah.
Right? So this fucking row is breaking out, right, on this app. And people are going, well, you know, like how no one can leave it, can they? They don't just go, fair enough. People go, oh, what are you talking about? If you don't want your cat fed, why don't you look after it better, right? And what do you mean your cat's traumatised? That's bullshit, right? And all of this. And there's a massive fucking argument between people about
this cat.
They're just
cats. They can't get traumatised. They've only got little brains.
That's exactly what someone says. But listen to this, right? The person, the angry owner of the cat, goes, listen, right, I wasn't going to say this, right, but you know that murder up the road, right? Well... Turns out our cat was a regular visitor to that home, and police have said that there is a high chance that the cat probably witnessed the murder
Whoa.
Taking place, and that is why the cat is so traumatized.
Do you think?
I don't know
how these things work, but do you think the cat's memories of the incident are on the microchip?
Yeah, they've been downloaded. That's why you have those microchips.
Yeah, get a scientist in to download it and find out who the murderer was.
Apparently, they're calling the cat as a star witness at the trial.
Yeah. It'll go in a
I called
suit.
To the stand, fat black cat. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you, God.
And he's wearing a bow tie like Mr. Jinx in the cartoon for his witnessing.
You are well known in the area, are you not, fat black cat? The defence will try to undermine fat black cat's character as a witness by calling me to talk about the time where he just fucking waltzed into my house in the middle of the night and wouldn't leave.
Talking about his shady past abroad.
Yeah.
You are, I believe, fat black cat, what is known as an immigrant.
You are a Spanish cat, aren't you, fat black cat? Or should I call you El Grande Chato?
I think that fat black cat was trying to approach you and engage with you in your capacity
as Britain's... trying to tell me? Because he knows that I'm a...
As your Britain's top journalist.
Yes, I'm Britain's top journalist. He's going, wow, you're a top journalist. I saw a murder. What's that, fat black cat? You saw the murder. Who was it?
Well, it's not who you think.
Fucking hell, it's all coming together, isn't it?
I know, all it's the amazing the mystery surrounding together. Fat Black Cat. I'll keep you posted, but this app, I don't know if they have it round your way. But
I don't know if they do. What's it called again?
It's called nextdoor.co.uk. And if you can get on it, I'm not on it, but I'm thinking of joining. If you can get on it and be a lurker, you don't want to get involved because people are just fucking mad. But if you can get on and just look at some of the fucking mad arguments about trivial matters that are going on in your locality, it's very entertaining.
I'm going to try and get onto that. Because, I mean, the equivalent is, of course, Facebook groups for towns and cities and stuff like that in local areas.
But this is hyper-local.
They're always a lovely breeding ground for that kind of thing. Yeah. I'm trying to get on it right now.
Yeah.
Yes, my neighbourhood is on next door. I'm going in. Oh, there's a there's a neighbourhood get-together at noon on Sunday.
Fucking excellent, see? It's paying dividends already.
Oh, I've already found out there's going to be construction work beginning on my local street nearby. It's in the crime and safety
section.
See,
this is actually useful.
Fuck, I've learned something already.
Yeah, should I go in and wait till you get into the politics. Wait till you get into politics. Once you find out what's going on in amongst the cats in the neighbourhood.
Yeah.
Because there'll be shit going on round your way, politics.
Some of our listeners were totally pissed off with Earth Tournament last summer. They're going to be so fucking sick when all we're doing is reading out stuff from next door in every episode.
Fucking hell. Well, they better brace themselves anyway, because Len was busily writing out the fixture schedule for Earth Tournament 2020 yesterday, which starts next month. And do you want to know what the mascot's called? It's in India, Tournament 2020.
Yeah.
And you remember Basilico El Burrito. Some people have T-shirts with him on. This tournament is called... this mascot's called Panjit Peaceful Guy. He's an Indian man. He is 30 years old. And he basically stands for peace.
Good.
And that's the message. I think that's the theme of Earth Tournament 2020 is peace. And Panjit Peaceful Guy is the mascot. So there'll be more about him and everything else that's going on with England's bid for glory very soon.
Better than the Euros. Apparently, I've got to show my address on Nextdoor. Showing your street address contributes to a more open, trusting community.
Fuck
Only your immediate neighbours will be able to see your address.
No way.
Fuck it, I'm in.
You doing it?
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing it.
See, that's why Anna didn't want me joining it, because she thought, I don't know what, she thought people, I don't know,
but
data
I'm just
going
to lurk. I'm not going to post, so, you know, nothing to lose.
Yeah, no, it's all about lurking. I mean, there's nothing, you've got nothing to contribute to it anyway.
Nothing at all. Quickly, before we go, update on the Prediction League at the weekend. Great weekend for you, Sam. 8 points.
Wow.
Even though we only had 5 matches, because Man City West Ham was postponed. I thought you'd want to talk through it. You got Millwall 0, West Brom 2, correct.
Correct.
Sunderland 1, Ipswich 0, correct. You know, getting ready for your spell in the lower leagues almost with those predictions.
Mm.
You got a point for Sheffield United Bournemouth. You said 2-0, it was 2-1. And Everton Palace, you said 2-1 and it was 3-1. So all close. Right. 8 points. 2 points for me. 5 points for results bot. So it's now, I'm still top 119, you're on 116. Ooh, results spot's on 99.
So I'm only 3 points behind you now.
3 points behind, yeah.
This is going to be a fucking good title running this year.
I think it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So there we are. That's it from this one. I'm now off to go on nextdoor.co.uk for the rest of the day and find out stuff. DTFN.
See you, dickheads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.